1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 to verse 21. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Verse 6. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please, do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Let's pray. Father, this evening we simply pray, "Speak, for your servants hear." We pray, Lord, that you would open up this mouth and open up our ears, and that we would hear your words this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a problem with the Christian life. And the problem is one of intimacy with the Lord. You and I both know that we are not as intimate with the Lord as we want to be. We know that there is so often this terrible disconnection. God seems to be too distant, to be too aloof. And that's the great struggle, the great difficulty of the believer. Part of that, a lot of it actually, has to do with how we handle the Word of God. I think too often when we come to the Word of God, we open it, but our hearts aren't really in it. We don't really know what to expect. We don't really expect to hear very much at all. Oftentimes, we're out the door before we've ever really gotten into the Word. Sometimes, we just don't let God's Word register in our hearts, Or if we're reading, we're not really listening or paying attention. We're not interested in what the Word of God has to say. It's like going through the book of Leviticus. You think to yourself, oh Lord, I mean, what does this have to say? And we want to move on. We want to press forward. And our ears aren't in tune to what the Lord would have us hear. You and I can continue in this way for a while as Christians. But after a while, things can get pretty dry as a believer. I mean, if you're not hearing from the Lord, if you're not hearing His voice, if you're not hearing Him speak to your heart, things can get very dry. And your walk with God can begin to get crusty and dead-like. And that was never what God intended for it to be at all. Somewhere deep down, we know that in terms of our walk with God, there must be deeper intimacy possible. We know it. And it's true, there is. But it all boils down to how we are going to treat the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. And this evening, we're going to learn a very simple lesson from a little boy that God used in such a powerful and in such an amazing way. Tonight, we're going to hear God speaking to this little boy. And we ourselves are going to learn three important lessons about how to receive, how to listen to the voice of God. Because after all, don't we want to grow in our intimacy, in our walk with God? We do. Well then, here's the first lesson. God's word is often not heard when there is unconfessed sin in our lives. God's word is often not heard when there's unconfessed sin in our lives. Did you find that? When I think of the times when God has seemed most distant, when His Word has seemed most distant from me, it's usually during times of unconfessed sin in my life. Times when I don't want to give up my sin. Times when I'd rather sink myself into sin than part with it and walk in obedience and in righteousness. My observation is that if there is any time when God's Word seems locked up to me, quiet, distant, it's in those periods of unconfessed sin. If we're going to live in unconfessed sin, it's really almost futile to expect to hear God's voice. Really it is. If there's one thing that Samuel teaches us, it's this very truth. This was not a high point in Israel's history. In fact, it was an extremely low point. The priesthood was crooked. They were more interested in eating the sacrifice than they were in offering it. In fact, Eli's sons were sleeping with women in the house of God. And God was not pleased with this at all. And there's this remarkable statement at the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1. Look down at your Bibles. In light of all that was going on in Israel, in light of all the sin, in light of the crookedness and the wickedness of the priesthood, we're told in verse 1, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." You know why the word was rare in those days? It was because sin was so common. That's why. You see, God's a holy God, and God will be treated as holy. He is not going to go on acting like everything's okay if everything is not okay. And when everything is not okay, what God often does is He seems to distance Himself. And the Word of God does not interact in our lives like it should be. The Word seems rare. We read it, but we don't really sense that He's speaking to our hearts and into our lives. And that's because of our sin. And that's actually a very loving thing to do. To distance yourself. To cut off communication, as it were. To hold back His voice. To keep His word back, and I'll tell you why. Because when you have a breakdown in a relationship, you can't go on communicating like everything's okay, can you? I mean, if there's a problem, you got to let the person know that there's a problem. And the way that God lets you know that there's a problem is He keeps quiet. The word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation in that day. I read a story a while back about a father and a daughter. And it was bedtime, and the daughter was in bed, and the father, you know, jumped onto bed, and they put their noses really close together, and he said to his daughter, "I love you." And the daughter said to him, "Well, I don't love you." And the father rolled over on his back and just lay there in silence for several minutes until finally the daughter said, "Daddy, I do love you." And you know, that's really, in a sense, what God does. He puts this intentional silence into our relationship so that we clamor after Him. You know, we hunger and thirst after Him. We have to hear His voice. We've got to know that He's not too far away and that He does, in fact, love us. The amazing thing when there is unconfessed sin is that His Word isn't altogether absent in our lives. It's an amazing thing that even when we do sin and when we're playing with sin, that still He comes to us, even occasionally, and speaks into our lives. We mustn't presume on that, of course. If there's unconfessed sin, we have to deal with it by the grace of God. And we want to deal with that so that we will begin to hear God's voice speaking to us, and that silence will disappear and dissipate from our lives. And so, God's word is often not heard when there's unconfessed sin. That's the first lesson we see tonight. The second is this: God's voice takes time to discern. His voice takes time to discern. As a brand new believer, I remember complaining to my brother one day. I said to my brother, "Andrew, why is it that I can't know God like that? I mean, perfectly." And he said to me, "Well, you know, Kiernan, like any relationship, it takes a while to get to know somebody." And the hard truth is that in the Christian life, it does take a while to know God. And it takes time to discern His voice. It did anyways for Samuel, right? Sure it did. When God first spoke to Samuel, Samuel didn't know that it was God, did he? He thought it was Eli. God spoke to Samuel one day, and little Samuel said, "Here I am," and he went to Eli. And Eli said, I didn't call you, go back to bed." And then he heard the voice of God again, but he didn't know it was the voice of God, it was the voice of Eli. And so he said, "Eli, here I am." And Eli said, "I didn't say anything, go back to bed." And this happened again a third time. And by that point, Eli finally figures out that this is God speaking to Eli. And he says to Eli, "Eli, when you hear this voice again, the next time I want you to say this: speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And God came to Samuel again and said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And then he began to hear the voice of God for the first time. It does take a while to discern God's voice. And part of that is because we're so unaccustomed to hearing His voice. I mean, we hear things, but we're not associating them with the voice of God. Sometimes there's a voice in our hearts that we think is our voice, when in reality, it's the convicting presence, the challenging, the correcting, the loving voice of the Holy Spirit. But we think it's our inner voice, the voice of the inner person. And we don't know that it's God speaking. It's God, but we think that it's Eli. Or there are times when we come to church and we hear a man preaching the Word of God, and we think that it's a man, when in reality, God Himself is speaking. We think that it's Eli, when in fact, it's God. And sometimes we're talking with a brother or a sister, and they're speaking, and they're moving their mouths, and we're hearing them speak, but what we don't realize is that it isn't Eli, It's been God all along speaking. And what we need to do, friends, is learn to attune our ears to the voice of God. Prayerfully, Lord, speak to me through your servant's ears. That has got to be our posture as we come to God's Word. Lord, open up your Word so that I can hear you. And in all of our relationships, when we go to God's house on the Lord's Day, are you praying that way as you get ready to hear the Word of God? Lord, speak to me, for your servant is listening. You know, I think that if we would just pray that way and live that way, we would really begin to discern the voice of God so that we stop hearing Eli and start hearing God in our lives. It takes a while to discern the voice of God. That's the second lesson. The third and final lesson is this. God's voice is heard by people who know Him. It's known by people who know Him. Many people, many of you who have grown up in the church can relate to my church experience. I grew up in the church, but I didn't hear the Word of God. I didn't hear the preacher. I ignored him. I plugged my ears, so to speak. I didn't hear what he was saying. And so much of what he said was lost on me. And that's because my heart was dead in my sin. Because Jesus Christ hadn't opened up my heart yet. Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God. Do you know why? It says because he didn't know the Lord yet. He didn't know the Lord yet. He would know the Lord. And he would know the Lord like few people have ever known the Lord. But at this point, as a little boy, he did not yet know the Lord. But he got to know the Lord. And when he knew the Lord, then he heard the word of the Lord. Listen, maybe if you don't recognize God's voice speaking to you, children, speaking to your hearts, maybe if it's just a book, that's because your hearts have not yet been opened. That you don't yet know the Lord personally as your Lord and Savior. And even when you're young, it would be a good thing to call out to God, say, God, open up my heart and take away my sin and help me to love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Help me to know you. And when you know him, like Samuel, you will hear from him as you open the Word of God and as you listen to him speaking to your heart. For many of us, the problem is that we're just growing. We're growing in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know all things. We're in a state of learning. There's still so much to learn about God. And part of the problem, part of this disconnection we feel, part of the reason we don't hear the voice of God as we should, is because we don't know Him yet as we should. But if we will grow in that grace and in that knowledge, we will hear that voice more and more and more. And that's why I just encourage you this evening to do what the Apostle Peter said at the end of one of his letters, and that's this, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get hungry for God. Get hungry for His Word. Take it in. Take Him in. Be in His presence. Get with the Lord. And say, Lord, I want to hunger for you. I want to thirst for you. I want to know you. And I want you to speak into my heart and into my life. Because I don't want this relationship to seem as one-sided as it always does, or so often does. I want you to speak to me, Father. I want you to speak to me so that I know that it's you who's speaking to me, so that this paper and ink almost seems to disappear, and all I hear is your voice speaking into my heart and in my life. Friends, what is more wonderful than that? To have your Heavenly Father speaking to you, to your life. Your life is important. Your life is beautiful. It is. And what's more important, what's more special than to have your Heavenly Father speaking to your heart and to your life? Our prayer must be like that of the prophet, the little prophet, the little boy Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant here. Our Father in heaven, we pray that our ears would be in tune to your voice. And Lord, that we would hear you in that most beautiful and remarkable way. Hear us, we pray. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name.